In a name. What's in a name? This is Parshas Lech Lecha. So, the end of the Parsha, Hashem says to Avram something very shocking. Could you imagine if Hashem's son says to you, I think you should change your name? I don't think we'd be very happy. Okay, Hashem says to Avram.
Hashem says change your name. That's a different story.
V'lo yikore oid es shimcha Avram. V'haya shimcha Avraham. So this pasuk, this whole parasha for me, I don't lean all the time, but I used to lean. So when you say the word Avram, I have a terrible, this is what they don't like when I lean, I have a terrible habit of adding too many hays into every word. It takes a lot of professional training when you sing, you lane, and you add the musical notes. It should be smooth. You shouldn't say va. You shouldn't say dar go ho 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 severe. Right? It has to be. Don't add haste. You used to get that complaint a lot. Don't. When you the melody of the Tamei HaMikra, you have to do it professionally. It has to be done the right way, or don't do it. No one's asking you. So I used to get this complaint when you sit to have the whole life. Avram. Did I just say Avraham? So sometimes when I lay the Gabbai, they would not let me go. Avram. So I probably Avraham. I was trying to do a Rivi'i. But if you express it too much, it sounds like you're eating 20 hays. Rivi Avram. Avram. Yeah. Later in the parasha, we'll get to Avraham. Right now, we're only up to Avram. So I was so traumatized by that maysa. I remember when I lay Lech Lecha, when it comes to Avram, I don't do the Rivi'i. I'm so traumatized. I go, Avram. I don't do the Rivi'i because I'm so traumatized in that memory of saying, what?
They call you Abe.
Abe, just call him. Abe. That's a very good joke. That's a very good joke. I like that. Abe. You didn't correct you too many times for Avram.
These are the things that Rav Moshe was mocked on, to say Aharon.
Because there is a hey, that's
and
a real...
And Avram, to make sure that I said Avram, as opposed to Avraham.
So when you do the trop, you have to practice and make sure you don't, in the trop, you don't have any, give any impression when you do the melody that you add a mashing of a hey, because then you're changing it from Avram to Avraham. Avraham comes later in the parasha,
right.
When it says, I am below yikore od es shimcha Avram, v'hoya shimcha Avraham.
Right.
Okay, now we have a changing of the name, and Sarai as well. Okay, her name was also changed, lo sikra es shimo Sarai. Okay. Now, so the Ribbono Shel Olam is the master of changing names. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can change someone's name. There is a person who should live forever, be well, be gesund and strong. Avchaim Kinievsky Shlita, the Sar HaTorah. He's called the Sar HaTorah. And this sefer is very humbling. I have over here a sefer. This was written by a Talmud of his. Some that's very close. It's called, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Shemois Chaim. Shemois, the names of the living. Shemois Chaim. I'm assuming that's how he wants it to be pronounced, Shemois Chaim. I'll tell you about it a little bit. And basically what he did was, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, years ago, he wrote a kuntras of names of women, of Nashim, that appear in Tanakh and in Medrash, all of the various Midrashim, I'm assuming most, not only Medrash Agod, the Medrash Halacha, in Bavli, and Yerushalmi, and maybe some more works. these, and when you see, and he has the names, I in the Kuntres, I wanted to count how many names there are. I actually stopped in the middle. I got up to 90, but it was probably like double. It's probably close to 200. It's probably bad, I would say, looking at the page, but I would say maybe even more, 200-300 names. He had a list. He has this person here, this person over here is very close to him. His name is, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right, his name is Rav Avraham Siruse. Is that how you pronounce it? The last name. The last name, the surname. Siruse? I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He obviously, from the Sefer, the Hakdama, and everything that he writes here is very, very close to Rav Chaim Kanievsky for decades. And he specialized, it seems that he brought people to him that had unique names, or whenever there was a question of a person, what name should be given to a baby, and there were difficult questions of the mother-in-law has this name and the father-in-law, there are fights and this and that. So he would be the shliach, I don't know how it came to him, to ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky what he thought. In the process, Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote a kuntres where he basically collected for females, not talking about males, a kuntres of, I would say here, there must be, let's say, at least 200 names of females that appear in Tanakh and in Medrash and in the Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, and probably some other works, other early works of the Kadmonim. And then this person, it seems he found more. He left out this name, left out that name, and in the name of Chaim says, you're right. And he took this kuntres and he reprinted it with all of the additional names that did not appear in Chaim Kanievsky's original kuntres, which must number, I would say, around 200. And this is very humbling, because next to every single name, it tells you exactly where this name appears. I'll give you, and a lot of these names are very weird names. You never heard of before. These are very bizarre names.
Not like the names in Israel today.
Oh, that's even, that's the next part of the Sefer. That's the next part of the Sefer,
like
the modern
what?
Names.
Like what?
Like, let's see, let me give you a... Tachpanis. Who is Tachpanis? This is a woman's name, Tachpanis. She is the wife, Hagavira Eshes Paro. She was the wife of Paro. She appears in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perikidal Pasachov. So that's probably someone who knows Tanakh. The Chidon HaTanakh, you should also know that.
You always know a name like that that ends in a Samach or a Mem, it's Egyptian.
Like, then there's a name called Talmira. Anyone know a Talmira? A Talmira? Hamalka Eshes Melech Shittim. Where do you find this? In Sefer Yosifun. Perigim. Okay, Yosifun. Now you're that's not Josephus. We won't have a discussion. The difference between Josephus and Yosef. Josephus was a question exactly who this person was.
Was he a traitor?
There was a person who came and did a critical review of maybe 1,000 years later, maybe, of Josephus, and he basically extracted only the things that are known to be 100% authentic.
Well, the truth is, Josephus wrote two versions of what...
For the Romans and for the Jews.
And the one from the Jews is lost because the Christians kept his version of the Roman one because they were more interested.
Right.
The Jewish one just faded away.
But even, so the one, the Roman one, so it's, we spoke about, there's a person 1,000 years later, he went and he researched everything that was in Josephus, in the secular version, was for the Romans, and there were a lot of big question marks about things that he wrote, if it's really true or it was written because that's what the Romans wanted, what they wanted to hear. And there's certainly a Masora, there's Jewish history of what we know to be true and other records. And he used Josephus, the book of Josephus, as a starting point, not going to reinvent the wheel for Jewish history, but he rewrote it. He extracted and edited and rewrote parts of it, only preserving the information that is found in Josephus that we as Jews know to be 100% true. And he left out things that we don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Who said? We don't know. Maybe, but we don't have this Messiah. Or this information that he's reporting appears to contradict information we have from other sources. So that he left out. It's a much shorter version. It's a relatively small book of Jewish history, which is basically an extraction and editing the work of Josephus, that was the starting point. Okay, but there in Josephus, and this work of Josephus was done by a very a person that was accepted by the Jewish community, the Jewish religious community, to be the real deal, and he was accepted. And there is a name. I'm just giving you one of 200 names. There's a woman called Talmira, and her name, she was the queen, the wife of the king of Shittim. Now, which, at what point in time, I guess you have to go look there in Perek Gimel and see exactly what it's referring to. Okay, this is examples. Now, by the way, in this...
What did they call it? It's a Goyishan name.
Oh, exactly. So here, what he did over here in this Kuntres, he put this, the reason why this Kuntres was written was because it seems that people came to him, they come to him all day long, and he obviously has hours, and they can come bother him, and they want it, especially you find this in Eretz Yisrael. You don't, in Eretz Yisrael, it's much more prevalent, this thing, name is a very big deal. In America, who cares, a Jewish name, a Goyish name, people aren't so worked up about the names. You have the name, you get the Aliyah, and then there's a name, then you have a name people call you, the secular name, this name, they call you nicknames. People aren't so obsessed with names. In Eretz Yisrael, it's for some reason, there's something, it carries a lot of weight, it always has, and people are much more worked up about their name. And people, a baby is born, there's a need to give the baby a beautiful name. And in all different parts, segments of society, in the modern, in the Haredi, the Chiloni, and then they have all the Balei Tshuva, they got this thing from their parents, and then they're worried about it. I don't know why. That's just the way it is. There's some reason in Eretz Yisrael for all the years, there is this obsession with making sure you have the right name. In America, you don't see this. No one really cares. You have a name, you have a nickname, you have a legal name on your passport. When they gave Malia, you call up this name, that name, whatever you have. Everyone seems to have in America a few names. Just like, where do you daven? Well, that's a loaded question. On Shabbos morning, I daven here when I wake up early. When I wake up late, I go to the shul. Shabbos mincha, I go here. Unless I'm having shalva shus, then I go there. Shabbos mitzvah Shabbos, I go here. In the summertime, in the wintertime, they go a little fast, I go here. During the weekday, well, Monday, Thursday, when they lane, so I go here because I lane. When I don't lane, I go to the other shul. Sunday, I go to a shir, so I go to this shul. It's a loaded question. Where do you daven? What's your name, sir?
That's
a loaded question. That's a loaded question. To the IRS, this is my name. For at work, this is my name. For when I get an Aliyah in Shul, this is my name. What does my wife call me? Achamor. Achamor. Everyone today has many names in America. And this, I'm not joking, this is what it is. In Eretz Yisrael, no one could care less. No one is. So you call me this name, that name, I get an Aliyah, the Gabbai calls me this. No one seems to be so worked up about names in America. I never saw anyone care. I have two names.
People stop giving secular names.
They don't give by a bris. What? Okay, but even the people today, people do not write on the birth certificate secular names anymore. People don't write anymore. Once you're over a certain age, all of the survivors who came to America on the birth certificates of the next generation was a secular name. And then at the bris meal, there was a religious name. Today, no one is writing on a birth certificate. Okay. I know today no one in every segment of society of the Jewish Orthodoxy, a baby is born, they're writing on the birth certificate the Hebrew name. It's not, no one's writing.
His Hebrew name was Abraham Moshe. His English name was Abram without the H, without the Hesed. Oh. A-B-R-U-M.
Okay.
In business, they never saw Avi in those days, so 50 years ago. They called him Harvey.
Exactly. As I said, today. That's exactly what I say today. So everyone has.
That's the things go in cycles.
They go in cycles. Carabas, 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 look, look. Today, now, where Rav Chaim Kania, as I told you, the background to the Sefer is the Kund. There's many verbs. This is something which is relatively brand new. It's a year old. And this is basically a product of 30 years, of an evolution of 30 years. I don't know how, maybe even 20 years ago, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, after people coming to me the entire day with names, because there always was an obsession about names in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chaim on his own, he wrote a kuntres, a little paper kuntres of a few pages of about 200 names that appear in, I told you, in Tanakh, in Bavli, Yerushalmi, and the Midrashim, and maybe others. Those names by no means is a comprehensive, he never meant, it's only for females, and it's not a comprehensive list. There are other names, as we'll show you in a few minutes. There are hundreds of other names that people use that are not part of that list. That's not the purpose. The purpose was, there are certain names that you should not use. Exactly what you mentioned. There are certain names, the tradition is you do not give a person the name of a Russia, of an evil person. And the person is even being suspected of being an evil person, it should not be given. So people wanted to know, is this name an appropriate name? So one thing, a person, you invent a new name. A new name no one ever had before, Shira. Right, is that a new name?
Yeah.
No one ever heard of this name before, I don't know how many years before, 50 years ago? Someone invented. That's a separate topic of discussion. We'll get that in a second. We're not up to that yet. We're up to talking about old names going back from biblical times, from the times of the Tanoim, the Amoraim, so
Nimrod,
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most popular names.
Nimrod.
So he does. So there are certain names that are striking from the list. Do not give a child this name. And if you have this name, it might be a good idea to change your name, because in Tanakh, the person is not held in high esteem. Nimrod. You don't want to give your child the name Nimrod, even though in Eretz Yisrael it's one of the most popular names.
It is.
It's one of the most popular names. So,
another one is Omri.
Omri. There are people who have the name Nimrod, let's say for the Esav. This is someone that has a story, and his own name is child Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. It's all, out there. So a person is Chayze Beshuva, and his name is Nimrod. So he comes from Chaim Kanievsky. Can I keep the name Nimrod? He tells him, no, you shouldn't keep the name Nimrod. You shouldn't. If a nice Jewish boy doesn't have the name Nimrod, we'll change it. So we'll get that later on. So he compiled a list over here in this list of about 200 names that are, this is not a comprehensive list. This is just an old list of what we had in ancient times. The editor of the one who wrote the Sefer, he puts them in three categories. He goes through the names of Aleph Beis, and the names that are good are just listed, and the names that are no good, he puts in brackets, which means do not give your child, if you were thinking about giving your child this name, no. Chaim Kanievsky, you don't want to follow Chaim Kanievsky. It's inevitable you can get very insulted going through the Sefer. I guarantee you. Because there are plenty of names you go through that, oh my, you know, my sister-in-law, that's her name. No. Okay, I know my mother-in-law, by this one has a name. No. Okay, inevitably, there's no way you're going to come out of this Sefer not insulted. So don't take this so seriously, okay? Don't take it as a grain of, don't get so insulted. Not everyone is so worked up about this. And in fact, I was told by very reliable sources of Chaim Kanievsky years ago, Kiseda, someone would come, ask a question, and just in the course of the conversation, the person's name would be revealed, what the name of the person is.
For a bracha,
and the guy, what's your name? And he, on the spot, there's no such name like this, change your name. Today, I was told, he doesn't do that anymore, he stopped doing that. I don't know why. I was told by very reliable sources, he doesn't tell people anymore. He used to just do it, and the people got very scared. He was a very holy person.
What's the procedure for changing your name?
The procedure, excellent question. I won't go and say the procedure is for a male. You get, now all you do is get an aliyah, and l'chatil get a Misha Berach.
Right.
Ya'amoid Moshe. This guy's name was some bizarre name. And now his name is Ya'amoid Moshe. Moshe, whatever you want. And he comes up, he makes a bracha, and if you're lucky, Misha Berach, Avoseinu, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Yivoreches, Moshe. Ben, and that's it, you're done. You don't have to change your name legally. Just, you can continue using your name in business, on the IRS, and your birth certificate, your driver's license. Keep that name. Just change your name when you call to the Torah, and amongst your friends who call you by your religious, those people who call you by your religious name, which today is very popular. Today we all call each other by the name they call to the Torah, pretty much, more or less. to a degree. So by that chevra, you change your name. In business, in your driver's license, your birth certificate, your social security card, keep your name. No, very good question. Excellent question. You do not. Because that's what you were called then. Excellent question. You don't have to change the name in the ksuba. Because that is what you were called at that point in your life.
But after you're
married,
even
though
now...
By the get, you'd have to say both.
What?
By the get, you'd have to say both.
That's only in the future. It's not
but
changing
if
your
you,
name.
If
it's
you
not
change your name, you don't know where you're heading.
If your person changes his name, it doesn't mean that he's undivorced. Okay? If a person... The name on the ksuba in the past, and the name Rahman al-Islam on a get in the past, that remains. You don't go to the wall in the house, oh, there's the ksuba, you change the name. You leave the name in Masha Hoya Kivar Hoya. Leave it. It's only the Kalabah.
His name is X.
Okay, that remains.
What happens getting married after he changes the name? Does he use the old name?
No, a person gets married. Anything in the future is the new name. Anything. Now, it's a little more problematic for a woman. He doesn't even really explain it. Not, I'm not even sure he explains how you change a woman's name. It would seem, I don't know, I'm not sure. I guess make it Mishabera, that would seem.
I had to do that.
I just guess, do you tell her, the woman, she tells her friends that this, I have a new name, and that's my new name. You just, be my dear, there is no ceremony. Even by a male, it's not really a ceremony. It's you get an aliyah.
Right.
You got to do something. You get an aliyah, you call the Torah. A woman, I don't recall him saying that they should make a mishabech for Bayisim. I don't recall that. I remember this very quickly. It just seemed...
Someone in my mishpacha.
Yeah.
The name was Shira.
Yeah.
He was with it. And it turned out that she became Shalamas. He said, just make a mishabech the next time you get a Leah.
Right.
Okay, mishabech. A mishabech. They make it for her. Right. You go to a shul, they make... What about if your shul doesn't make mishabechs? You make a Yishabarach. What?
Sort of related. Let's say someone's named after someone, but that someone's named after was not.
The name was not an appropriate name.
No, the name was an appropriate name. His name was Abraham.
Okay.
But Abraham, the McQuinton, whatever, grandfather was in Russia and he wasn't for him.
Okay.
And he wants to give the name to this baby.
Abraham.
Abraham.
Okay, so the answer is as follows. So this is a very common question you're asking. So the ideal thing, there are two things to do. Ideally, you should add another name. Another name. And when you add another name, it would be ideal to put the name first. To put the name, so let's say you want a name for a person who is not religious, the person who's questionable. Your person, for whatever reason, you can't judge anyone. Really, the truth is you never really know. You can't judge anyone, and
if you're not mechuyev to judge anyone.
But let's say you have a situation where, unfortunately, it's not a covered for the child to have that name. Because the person, Google him, the child's not going to see nice things. So the solution is to add a second name. And the second name should be put first. The second name, so let's say Moshe Avraham. No, you don't want to do Avraham Moshe. Because you want, when you have a name that has to be given because to be politically correct, and Lenei HaShalom, so you have to add a second name, the second name should come first. We have this case often, Rahman Vatsan, a person who dies very young. We'll talk about in a second.
Right.
There's a custom that if a person dies very young, what it means very young, then this is a Kabbalistic principle that means that the person's mazel, not that it's bad, his mazel is not to live a long time.
Right.
So to name a child that you want to live forever, you know, if you're going to give him that name of a very good, a holy tzaddik, he was a very good person. A tzaddik should be, but he died when he was 25 years old. So people get a little worked up about this. This is all Kabbalistic stuff, which no one knows anything. It's just all to make you feel good. And you don't want to give that name, because giving that name is a bad mazel. He's not giving that name. The mazel of that person may come upon this child, who'll also only live for 25 years. It's a very common thing. So the solution is to give, but you want, on the other hand, if you're not going to give a name for that person, that no one will ever carry his name. So the solution is add another name, but here's very careful. The name that you add must come first.
Right.
Must come first. Don't, if the person who died very young, his name was Avraham, And now there's another baby, another child you want to name Avraham. Don't call him Avraham Moshe, because the Iker is the first name, not the second name. And so, but you want, so you call him Moshe Avraham or whatever, whatever, whatever you want to add. The additional name should come first, and that will totally cleanse any bad mazel that may bother you in the second name. Okay, now for a woman, like you said,
and when you refer to that child.
So it's an interesting question. So you should really lechatchila refer to a person by their full name, which are the two, which are both together.
Moshe.
That's what you should really do. People, a name takes on a life of itself. People never imagine when they name a child that they give them two names and they end up calling the, and especially they name the child after a certain person, and somehow it's a mazel. And we all know that name, you can name a person by a certain name, and there's a mazel. The person is never ever known by those names, that name. They're known by a nickname. Okay? You name a person, Chaim Shmaria Kleinemis Kalm. And they call him Sam. Sam? How do you go from Chaim Shmaria Kleinemis Kalm to Sam? How did that happen? It's a mazel. Somehow, when he gets an aliyah, they still call him Chaim Shmaria Kleinemis Kalm. They call him by all four names. But, you know, he's not known by that. No, what is all that? I don't know what that means. That's the mitzvahs in the world.
Yeah, people are Mordechai's, they're Matis, Zevs.
Right, that's also. It's not an ideal thing. Chaim, he was very big into names of Chaim Kanevsky, and he didn't like this. He also writes something in the Hagdama. There have been a beautiful Hagdama, a lot of fascinating things in the Hagdama, where he two names, he held that two names is one name. It's like a nickname. It's not, Chazal don't tell us that it's not an ideal thing to call a person by a nickname. A person has a name, that's what you're supposed to be called. And a parent should take that into consideration when they name, the people that make this mistake. They have a relative and they're embarrassed of that name. Today there are certain names that back pre-war, you know, Yenta. Okay, Yenta. So people are not getting, you know, they're not giving their children the name Yenta today. Okay, there was a movie, that's why. Barbara Streisand, right? She ruined it for everyone, right? Or Yento. Okay, it's a Yenta. Yenta. There are certain names that just people, they just don't want to give today. You talk to a modern couple, you talk to a Haredim, talking about someone in Flatbush, in Koil Yung, they learn Koilo, and a Chosh of a people from Chosh, they just don't want to give this name. Because in society, for some reason, it just doesn't go well. So what do they think? They make a mistake. I gotta give the name, because I gotta give the name. The grandmother's name was Yenta. I gotta give the name. But we're not gonna call her that. We'll call her something exotic. Something, you know, hip, exotic. That's you're giving two names. I will call her Ahuva Yenta, and we're gonna call her Ahuva.
Juanita.
That's wrong. That is wrong. To go lechatchila.
No, it's not a joke. Yenta is this. It is the root of Yenta comes from Juanita.
Okay, this is a very grave error. You should never give a person a name that you do not intend to call them. Right. People do this all the time. I'm mamish embarrassed of this name. You hear the name. The Sikarei Shema B'Yisrael. What did you just say? You're a gabbai. You're a gabbai, right? You've named babies, right? What in the world did he just say? Yeah, I got this great grandmother here and there. You're really going to call your daughter by this name? No way. If you're not planning to call her by that name, you really shouldn't give her that name. Oh, but I'm going to insult all the, you know, the people in my family. You got a big problem.
Right.
You really got a big problem. And what is this?
Just had a pigeon event where the baby's name is Uri Yehuda, and they say, and we're going to call him Yehuda.
You're not supposed to do that. That's ignorance. You're not supposed to call
the
person.
The world right now.
It's one thing.
Most people have two names now. All these.
Oh, so it's one thing. By the German Jews, there's a ceremony, the Wimpel.
A wimple.
What was the wimple ceremony? The rabbi said, when did they do that? The first time, and there was there's something very important that's part of it. We have to read history. That was a ceremony when they gave the child the secular name. The Wimble ceremony was just an excuse to make a ceremony to name him, to give him a secular. Read about it. Read it up. Read up on this. Do Google.
Not embroiderers.
Yeah, embroiderers. They don't do this anymore. So today, yes, no
do.
One is.
They do wimples.
They do wimples, right. But they don't do where it all started from. It's like you go to the barbershop. Outside the barbershop, what do you see spinning? This very bizarre thing that's spinning with the red, white, and blue. Mm-hmm. The American flag.
It's red and white.
No, that's because
they blue also.
Blood. They used to blood. Draw blood.
Blood, the vein, the arteries in the veins. Why? Because the barber used to do two services. Right. You come for a haircut, and he draws your blood. That was, today, does any barber draw your blood? Hopefully not. Hopefully not. So why do they still have, that thing spinning outside the barber shop?
They're worth a lot of money. They stopped bringing
it. They have a hole you go on one. Beautiful. They put an Avenue M now over here. Beautiful. A new one. Brand new one. Beautiful. They make them.
It's in the store, not outside.
I think almost outside they have one. Now,
really?
Yeah, they have a beautiful one. They're beautiful. So why, because no, they have to go and buy a new one. No one's letting blood today. You know, you don't go to a barber they hardly ever do. It's very rare. I guess once a doctor, they still do this. Is there any medical benefit in draining blood? So he said generally 95% not, but there are situations where we do it. Where doctor, the medical profession, it's
cuppings. Cuppings.
Right.
Today, it used to be a standard procedure. You go for a haircut, and you let blood. It was a standard. Today, you don't do that. There's medication today. Today, it's a whole modern medicine. Everybody, we're running out of time. Today, we don't do that. So, but yet, the ikkar, what still remains, still the ikkar is. That is the symbol of a barber. That's not a barber. That's a bloodletter. Somehow, there are things that remain today that are the tofel, and the tofel became the ikkar. With the name, it's the same thing. We're going to name him some exotic name, but we're not going to. We're going to call him Avi. We're going to call him Moshe. We're going to call him whatever. You call him something. That is not a Jewish mahalach. That is not. That is something. A name is enormous power. A name captures the person's neshama. If it happens by itself, it happens. Names have their own life. People are called. They are called different names. It evolves over life. That's just the way it is. But lichatchila, to start out at the bris milah and say this is his name, he's going to get the aliyah and this name, but we're going to call him this. You don't do that.
But lemais, we do.
If it happens, it happens.
We see it in the proof visit in Mesechta's Gittin. We see that you're supposed to list all the kiddurim, everything. So obviously,
when it happens, it happens.
They would do it.
But it's not a lichatchila. Everything in this world is a bidyeh. But you don't aim. You don't. You don't lichatchila aim for a bidyeh. If it happens, it happens. The whole world is a bidyeh. No one ends up doing their original plan. But you don't lichatchila at the bris milah. Okay, we have to be politically correct, and we have to go give this exotic name, and it's a big tircha. Every time, you have to think about the child. Every time his whole life he gets an aliyah, they're going to call him by this bizarre name, and also that's his name. And if it's something which is embarrassing, you're causing your child embarrassment. If the name was an embarrassing name in society, people just they cringe when they hear that name. Sure. What are you doing to your child? So you want to impose upon them a name in order to satisfy, is that the proper thing to do? If you're the person that's going to suffer, okay, so you maybe have an achrayus to give kavod to an elder, to be machnia yourself. But do you have a right over your child when it's not necessary to cause them to cringe? Are you the Baal HaBos over your child? Yes and no. You are. You have an obligation to mechanech the child, but your child has a whole life to live. And if the perception is that this is not something which people are doing, every situation obviously is different. You can't generalize in these matters. Everyone go back and write it. The Chazal said that every parent is given Ruach HaKodesh, right, or they give a name of a baby.
The Gemara says
is a name, there's a Ruach, there's a Ruach, the name, we don't understand the source, it captures the essence. Now let me get back to the Sefer, we'll do something with some ideas in the Sefer. Let me just first explain to you what the Sefer is. It's amazing. This Sefer is a product, probably probably the product of 50 to 80 years in the making, the Sefer. It all started when Harav HaGoyin, the Sar HaTorah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, he should be lived forever, he should have a refuah shleima, he should be gesund. He went and he wrote on his own a little kuntres. And I'm telling you, when you see what he writes over here, you mamish, you melt. Like, how did you know? Dunak Bas Rav Nachman. Dunak. Where does it come? This is Masech the Kiddushin, and it's also in the Mesuras Hashas, in the She'iltis, and the She'iltis, the Geir says Dida. How do you know that? Who knows these things? Like the scope of knowledge from where these names are collected, and this was done without a computer, by the way. This wasn't done, even with a computer. How are you gonna find the technique to do this? He on his own with incredible ideas. He was able to go and put this together. And this fellow who put this Sefer together, he probably used the computer and he was actually looking. He did this klachaya. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he doesn't spend the whole day looking for names. He just klachaya, he put this out, like just from memory. And he probably spent hundreds of hours searching through names to go, I got another name. Another couple of, you're right, you can add it to the list. Another couple of names. And what was the purpose of this? The purpose of this, there are many purposes. Number one, spelling. Because in a get, only a get is critical that the name be spelled correctly. It's not critical that the name be spelled correctly in a ksuba. Right. We try very hard to spell it correctly in a ksuba. But if it's not spelled correctly, no big deal. A ksuba is a takonas chazal. It's automatically required, even if the name is not, if it turns out the ksuba is not, isn't it possible they can find the ksuba? It doesn't matter. The husband has to pay the ksuba, which today ksuba is probably at least $50,000. A ksuba of a Rahman son is a divorce. This is a ksuba. The ksuba is about $50,000 at least.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's a divorce today, the chassan, the husband, must pay the ksuba. There's nothing to discuss. Go ask any rabbi.
That's what
so then you're going to go tell me all the crooked eye that goes on today with all of the extortion and blackmail and holding up for money. Unfortunately, let's not talk about this. We know. But after everything is said and done, there's a requirement that the ksuba be paid. That's what marriage is about. That it's also to get married without a ksuba. The ksuba is a case of death or divorce. The husband obligates all of his assets, every penny that he owns, to pay the woman, the wife, money where she can basically live comfortably for 1 year. And until he does that, he has to support her. He has to pay food and basic sustenance, which in time of Chazal was a lot less than one lump sum. Until he gives this one lump sum, he has to continue the first home sefer ksubas. That's the halacha. That's what a person writes a ksuba. Because if he did not have his ksuba, then if a husband comes home from work and the dinner is just not exactly the way he likes it, then you know what? I had enough of you. You're divorced. I brought you a present tonight. A get. I went to the store.
Most of
the time, the girl
is
waiting just so she can get her get.
She can't wait. She's Michael the ksuba because of the Agmas Nefesh. His wife was a divorce lawyer, so he knows all the stories. Sometimes in Rechman and Litzlan, the society today, there's such great tzaris. In today's society, the woman is meichel the ksuba, just give me the get. I'm meichel, halavai, you shouldn't make me into an aguna and torture me and destroy my life. I'm meichel, $50,000, you should give me the get. Rechman and Litzlan, that's what's going on today.
Right.
But Mikra Adin, there's no such thing as getting married without a ksuba, and even if the ksuba was not written or it's possible, they can't find it. How many times they can't, where's the ksuba? They lose the ksuba, they're not at the wedding. They go home, there's no ksuba ready. How many rabbanim, misadre kedushin, will tell you they get a call 3 o'clock in the morning, we lost the ksuba. I remember when in yeshiva, we learned in yeshiva that if you don't have a ksuba, you're not allowed to be with your wife. So I'm calling you 3 o'clock in the morning in the night of my wedding. I remember from Yeshiva. I don't remember anything else you taught me. I was in Yeshiva for years. I don't remember. I can't even teach for you the pasuk in Chumash. But I remember in Yeshiva we learned that if you don't have a ksuba, you're not allowed to be in yichud with your wife. So now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And the chasna was up. We came home. I remember. I don't know what the ksuba is. What should we do? Go to sleep. And we have 30 days. We as long as you call me, good. So we have now, the clock is ticking. We have to make a ksuba de irchasa, and we'll make a ksuba de irchasa within 30 days. I think my father, Zichron Levracha, he wrote, I used to do it. I used to print it up. A ksuba de irchasa for almost every single balabas in the shul.
Wow.
Okay? One after another. Because once one guy, he told his friend, you know what happened? Couldn't find my ksuba. The rabbi, he made me a nice new ksuba. Oh, really? So the guy's thinking in his head, I don't know what my ksuba is, but I'm too embarrassed to ask. And then, you know, it germinated. And then like a month later, you know, rabbi, I heard there's something called a ksuba. Yeah, don't worry, big deal.
Happens to everyone.
I think my father also loves ksuba. So that's why I say, I'm in yeshiva with Nicholas sons. Go to chasna, they pay a fortune of money. A beautiful ksuba. Yeah. What is mishagas? And then you go real yeshiva, mishagas, make a beautiful ksuba. You pay an artist. You know what it says in the ksuba? I'm artist. It says, in case of death or divorce, I owe you money. You pay an artist to write such an ugly document. This is what you want. You're going to hang it up in your house. You're waiting to die and get divorced? You're going to pay out a lot of money out of your mind? It is the best thing that happened since sliced bread.
Right.
You know why? At least you know what your ksuba is.
Right.
You know what your ksuba is. That's right. It's a great idea. It is a great idea to have on the document, on the wall, the ksuba. With all the artwork, who cares what it says? You know where it is.
But it prevents divorce. At $50,000, it's preventing divorce.
But no one knows what it says anyway. No one can figure out. These words, kesef, zokuk, moisef mi delay. Oida, no one even knows what these words mean, yeah?
I heard people, they went on vacation,
yeah,
and they took the ksuba off the wall to take it with them.
Ridiculous.
Jason, has that wrong?
That's ridiculous.
Because they're going to be with them.
Well, at least you know where it is.
No, you just have to know where it is. Many rabbanim, I heard this in Rukhasha, says, women, they come, I don't know where it is. Just tell me. You have an attic with all the stuff up there somewhere?
It's up there.
You can be so mech, it's there somewhere. It's there somewhere. Don't get so, it's not an emergency. It's not an emergency. If you really feel it might not be there, so we'll write a ksuba, it's called in Nachlas Shiva. I have a whole other song, I could print them up, buy a dozen. They're very nice. You call the neighbors, and they will be the witnesses. Makabu, my father did it. Makabu, Kenyan, we got neighbors. And it's very nice, you know, and you take it, they're very proud. The renewal of your vows.
Who's responsible to know what it is?
The cow, the wife.
Wife.
The wife. It's not
a document.
It's her document. It's her document.
I was in the catering hall with the rabbi did not bring
an extra ksuba. The caterer has extra.
So, yeah, it's exactly.
The caterer, a good caterer has extra
ksuba.
When I went to rabbi school, so he had a person, like Wasserman, I haven't seen in a very long time. I didn't know why.
One that pays less.
Not sure. So he gave the shiur on weddings. How the practical rabbinics there was of how a rabbi should conduct himself at a wedding. So he did it a short one. He told us that he used to make much more elaborate, a bit of practical rabbinics. The first thing he taught us is, don't you dare be a Masada Kedushin and come with a big pen. Don't come with a pen like this. Don't come with a, you know, you better make sure you come with a nice silver pen, nice, you know, but they're taking pictures. Have derech eretz, for photographer. You know, you tell us a practical side of rabbinics. You come, just don't call. Take out your handkerchief. Okay, time, Mekabel Kenyan. Here, yeah, pick it up. Look, you know. Okay, Mekabel Kenyan. Be smart, okay? You know what? And one of the things he taught, very smart, he says it's inevitable. It happens probably most of the time. This time, I spoke to someone last night. Last night, someone called me up and he asked me, he's about tshuva. He told me he never ever spelled his name in Hebrew, his last name in Hebrew. So he's getting married, and he looked at his parents' ksuba, and there's a discrepancy on his parents' ksuba. So he wants to know which one of the two is right. So I told him they're both wrong. I'm not joking. I told him, I did some research, I told him they're both wrong. And this L'chair is the way you spell your last name in Hebrew. But I said to him, you're asking the wrong person. You're asking me how to spell your name on your ksuba. This is what the Mesader Kedushin does. And I said, you have not already spoken. You're ordering a beautiful ksuba from an artist. What's the date? There are so many different shaylos in the nusach, and also, who says you're supposed to write your last name? Some people write, let's say Moshe ben Aaron l'mishpachas Kohn. There are many, many Mesadrei Kedushin don't do that. They don't want to do that. They write Moshe ben Aaron, period. They do not want to add into the ksuba the last legal name l'mishpachas. It says something about Moshe, and truly he says you should do it. But all of his children, he himself didn't do it for his children. It's very interesting. And Moshe in this true English version says that it's a good thing. That's another issue of the spelling. How do you spell New York? How do you spell New York? There's a machlokes. Moshe, the first person to write New York, to make a get in New York, was by Ash. A-S-H. Back in probably in the 19th century, Rabbi Asher, he's the first person to decide how to spell New York. I'm not sure which one.
Originally, they spelled it with an
olive. A very Chicago.
Okay, so there are different. So the purpose. Okay, let's let me show you. Hang on. The purpose of this sefer was originally to collect names and basically spellings, and the only time a spelling is critical is a get, Rachmana Litzlan. It's ideal to get the spelling of the name right for a ksuba. It is ideal. And people work very, very hard to struggle to learn how to spell the names correctly, especially the exotic names. But if at the end of the day it was not spelled correctly, it doesn't make one bit of a difference. It's kosher. The ksuba is a takonas chazal. It does not have the stringencies of other halachas, of a get. So, but a get is critical. So you really encourage people to
use. You can write them all.
What?
Get, you can write them all.
You can write. You have to write more than one get. It's not so simple. It gets very complicated. And once you write, it's not a mahalach to write many gitin. They're different. Okay, whatever it is. So part of what he wrote was you have to know how to spell it. People do have these exotic names, so we should be clear on how it's spelled. And also, if the person does not yet have this name, and there is a person considering giving this name, he basically was machria, I mean, in his little countries, don't give a person this name. This person is not a good person. You don't name a child after a person who is not a good person. And in this little countries, he has here about, I would say, 250 names. And the name, there are names that he does not put in brackets, and there are names that he puts in brackets. The names in brackets do not give. The names that are not in brackets, then is a star, which means it's questionable. So I'll give you this one over here. Mayor's gonna love this. Vashti. Vashti is in brackets. Don't name a child Vashti. If a girl, let's say a girl was already named Vashti, do you tell her to change her name? All right, not so posh to change them. That's we'll get into the topic. But if you did not give the name yet and you want to take his advice, there's no mandate here. You do whatever you want. You want to take his advice, don't give the name. Interesting, what would you say about Hagar? Was Hagar good? What could you name? If Chaim says nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong naming a baby Hagar.
Why would anybody want to give a name Vashti or Hagar? There's so many beautiful names.
Let's say the grandmother's name was Hagar. Let's say the grandmother's name was Hagar, and she was a very good woman. Let's say for whatever reason, the woman died, whose name was her grandmother, she was at Tzadekes, her name was Hagar. No, her name was Hagar. Today, you're not going to give the name Hagar. And if you're not going to give the baby the name Hagar, it's going to be World War III in your mishpach. And Hagar, you're not so comfortable with the name Hagar. So if you'll tell me, this is Machria, that the name is, she's a Rashanta, she's a so that's it. I'm willing to go al Kiddush Hashem. I'm willing to go into World War III. I'm not going to give the name Hagar no matter what the consequences are. Rav Chaim says it's not worth it. There's nothing wrong with the name Hagar. She's a good person. There's nothing wrong with her. She suffered. She suffered. She was the Sarai Chamosi Olecha. Rav Chaim, that's why you have a Gadol. He's Machria. Everyone has dark sides in their life. Everyone.
Give a second first name.
What?
This is saying give Hagar, but say Bachal
Hagar? Yeah, you can do that also. But let's say that you only want to, even just to do that, you want to do that, or you want to give another name. So it's a very fantastic contrast where you have a Gadol who knows Kol HaTarakula and is Machria for you if the person, based upon his knowledge of Tanakh and of Chazal, if this person's a problematic person. And there are many of them and he has stars. And it's, I don't know what to tell you. Hamdasa. Okay? Who is Hamdasa? This was who?
We call
Haman. It was Haman. Well, it was Hamdo, not father. It was a woman.
I know.
It was the wife of Agag.
Right.
And when you say Haman, it's his great-great-great-great-grandmother. Right. Was she a bad person? Just because Agag was a Russian, Yimach Shemo, was his wife a bad person? Rav Chaim says, I don't know. He is a star here. Perish Rabbeinu Nissan, Melchuva Mimesechta. I don't know what this means over here. I'll perish Haman ben Hamdasa. Hamdasa was the wife, he has the source where this comes from, was the wife of Agag. It's a woman. It's not a male name. It's a female name. And it's the Masara. I mean, you can say, oh, today I want to make it into a male name. Okay, you can do whatever you want. No one's going to stop you. You can do whatever bizarre thing you want. But there's a Masara. And this is working with this understanding. The people from the time of Tanakh and Chazal, they operated on a very holy spiritual level of Ruach HaKodesh, and names really capture the essence of a neshama. And today we're much more comfortable just following in the footsteps of our ancestors and not to invent new things. So Hamdasa, most people don't even know, like me, that it's a female. I will Haman ben Hamdasa, I thought it was a male. I don't even know. I thought maybe that's his father's name. I don't know. Hamdasa, we're going back to Agag, it's a female. And guess what? She's not so bad.
Yeah, but
you don't have to clap. You clap for Haman. You don't clap for Hamdasa. And if a person wants to give the name of a girl this name for whatever reason it may be, so Rabbi Chaim says, I don't know. I can't tell you what to do.
Where did the whole concept of giving names come out to begin with? Who picked up names? At what level in the world did we start giving names?
Adam Harushon. It comes from Adam Hashem brought. The answer is, it's Pasha. That's an easy. It's an easy question. That's an easy question to answer. Adam says in the pasuk, Hashem brought every single living creature. Every single living creature was presented to Adam Harishon, and Adam was told, "You name this person, and you name yourself also. Give a name to yourself, Chava. You name Chava." Rashi writes about this. He didn't delay. Zriza Magdimim, it says this in Rashi, that every single living creature immediately was brought to Adam, immediately was a priority one, and he didn't think about it, Immediately gave, Rashi says, the gracious.
If we look through history, all the names that were given,
yes,
we don't see until you get to the Gemara.
So this, in the Hagdama,
he
explains that, in the Hagdama, Rav Chaim says, he explains in the Hagdama, the people in Tanakh, the people that are mentioned, that had the merit of having their name mentioned in Tanakh, the Chof Dal Tzifrei Tanakh, this is holy. Torah Nevim Suvim, every word in Tanakh is min hashamayim. That's the moon of an Orthodox Jew. The Tanoim, the Talmud, the Tanoim and the Amoraim and the Midrashim, these works are holy works. And if names appear there, these are recorded, the Emunah Pshuta is these names were divinely inspired.
But who were they named then?
It doesn't matter. These are the DNA of creation.
The most common name in the Chumash.
Some of them were named.
The most times in Chumash for the different people.
I don't know.
Nope. Korach. Right. Four people named Korach.
That's right.
Okay, now Avchai, here let me list a few more things. This is very important. Avchai, very often, people came to him and they tell him his name and he changes their name. And we discussed this. This is his rule. Whenever you change your name, he was very insistent on this, the new name must have the same first letter as the old name. So if you have some really bizarre name that begins with a B, a base.
Brindle.
Who says Brindle's not a real name?
No.
He has every single name around. Look at that. But whenever a name is changed, whenever he changed the name, or if you want to change it on your own, you must, everybody say, you must, the new name must start with the same first letter. The new name. You don't, why that letter, when a person gets a name, there are two dinim in the name. There is the first letter of your name, and there is the name. The first letter gets a chazaka that you can't take away. You cannot uproot that letter. You can uproot the name if there is a need to change the name, but you cannot take away that letter. So all the names that he ever gave, he shows here on the Sefer, there are very rare exceptions. The name has to have, the new name has to have the same first letter of the name. And what about adding a name? You don't do that. You do not, the only time a name is added is for a person who's very, very sick. A person who comes to a God, you know, I'm having a problem with Shaduchim. So that's a ridiculous thing to go change name for Shaduchim. That's a totally ridiculous thing.
He did that for Shiloh.
Could not, because he held Shiloh was not a name. The reason why he took away Shiloh was because he didn't like the name Shiloh, period. Even if she was married with 20 children, he would change her name years ago. Today he stopped doing that. Even a woman, your name is Shiloh, what kind of name, who gave you the name Shiloh? What kind of crazy name is that? Change your name. Change your name to Sarah or whatever. You try a name that's very same letters, the first letters. But doesn't matter. He wasn't a name, period. It's not because of Shiloh. People come, I'm having bad mazel. Who says having bad mazel? You know what mazel is. You know what's good, what's bad for you. Ridiculous. You have a name. If you have a name that's a name, that is a name. Now, there are two criteria to be called a name. That's a little misleading, what I was telling you until now. Either the name has a precedent in Tanakh or in the Gemara, the Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrashim, and other related works of that time that are authentic, that were accepted, or, and this is probably the majority, they're not there. The name Aliza, very popular woman's name. It's nowhere in Tanakh.
Yes, it is.
As a name of a person?
Not as a person, as a name, as a word,
so that's not a name. It's nowhere in Bavli, Yerushalmi, in Medrash, nowhere. But this is a name that has existed traditionally in the Jewish people from time immemorial. That's a name. And there are like probably hundreds, I don't know the exact number, many such names. Just because the name is not to be found anywhere in Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Tanakh, and the Chulu, doesn't mean it's not a name. And somehow, I don't know, he has a Ruach HaKodesh, people really trusted him. They came to him, they told him, he's even some very bizarre names. And he says, that's a Sardish name. Goes back a very long way. What? That's a real, people are like, you know, they're rooting. Can't wait to see what he's going to do. This girl or boy is coming into his office with this crazy name, someone, computer-generated passwords. So this is like a computer-generated password that became someone's name. And they're just rooting. They're rooting. What is Rav Chaim going to change this person's name to? And Rav Chaim thinks, and he says, this is an old Sardish name. Great name. How do you know that?
What made it a name then?
I don't know. Mesorah. Rav Chaim worked with this principle that if it's been around for a very long, I don't know how his mind works. That's when they go to him. Today he's very, very weak. Someone I know, he says, it's very, very frightening. He's in a very weak state now. Years ago, he could call it a Rukua, and he would say, he would shock people. This is an old name. This is not, if there is a Mesorah, that this is a name in Klal Yisrael, yes. Shira, he didn't like that name. He said, it's not a name in Tanakh, it's not a name in any of these early works, and no one I don't know how he knows. And not until this generation, until the establishment of the state of Israel, did some people, oh, what a nice name. What a nice name. We're going to call the name, Shira. He didn't like it. And he told people without any embarrassment, bush, nothing, no politically correct, there's no such name, Shira. It's not in our Mesoira to name a person by that name. And you're not going to find it in the Yerushalmi, in the Bavli, in the Shildas. And Tommy de Bailio, not even in a footnote, you're not going to find it. And
did
therefore,
you tell somebody that?
Yeah, that's what he told people, straight out. Mm-hmm. Straight out.
Do I?
What?
I'm a nobody. Do I tell somebody his name is who is
she? No, you know, we don't say anything. That. Even now, this I tell some very reliable sources, he stopped doing that. He doesn't do it anymore. If someone comes into him now, here, please, someone comes into him now and says, my name is Shira.
Sure.
Wonderful.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. You want a bracha? What's your mother's name? May Shira Ba so and so have Ali Chasyamin. No problem. He stopped doing that. He doesn't talk about names anymore. But years ago, this is something which was very, he shook up a lot of people years ago. He shook them up. He doesn't do it. I don't know why. I don't know what happened now. He doesn't do this anymore.
You realize that this gives new meaning to the expression, he called her every name in the book.
He has, for example, Sivan. You know anyone by the name of Sivan?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, I do.
Very famous
Sivan.
Person.
Famous person?
No, there's
so he writes here, there's no such name, Sivan. He says, what happened was someone was born with a Sivan, so they named the Sivan.
Right.
It's a whole safe over here. Sima. Of Moshe Feinstein's wife.
Yeah.
Of Moshe Feinstein's wife. Sima. That was her name, right? Sima. Sima saw Samachid Mem Aleph. First of all, there's a big shah, he saw with an Aleph or a Hay.
Right.
So I'll just read you what it says here. Nishal Harav, the Nichtav, Al Isha Shemikreis Kach, Eze Pasik Tremar Besaif Tila Sikhahe. So that's her name. Okay, so which Pasik should she read? You know, the end is
Sima,
it has to begin with the Samach and then with an Aleph. The Chasar Rav Loimar Pasik Sus V'roichvoy Ramo Vayom. What does that mean exactly?
It's a mem.
So obviously, so the Chazal says the pasuk that you say is not necessarily we do that. We do the pasuk that you say is not necessarily it begins with the first letter and ends. If you have if the syllables, in these psalms that talk about which pasuk you should say,
yeah.
You take a pasuk where your name is captured in that in some shape or form. Either the name is actually there. You have a pasuk. And the pasuk, let's say your name is Menashe. Your name is Menashe. So lechatchila, you can say the pasuk is Simcha Lakim Kefarim Menashe. Oh, but it doesn't begin with the men. It doesn't end with a hey. Better. The name Menashe is in the pasuk. Yisimcha Elokim Kefarim Chem Menashe. What more do you want? Well, the attack ends with a hey, but it doesn't begin with a. That's ideal to say a pasuk which has your name. Laved after the name itself, even the syllables. Of your name, Sima's a very bizarre name. I don't know what it means. So he says the pasuk which captures the essence is for a woman. Let's think about it. It's a very nice pasuk because that's the pasuk they sang. That's the pasuk that Miriam sang. The pasuk that you should say is Sus v'rechlo yom v'yom. Pamacheres shamati shama shetoymar pasuk hamaskel b'samach v'digmar behei. Other times he said, now hear this, a pasuk. The correct spelling of Simas with a hey. Ad kidei kach, that when you look in the sitter, in the back of the sitter, for the pasuk, look for a pasuk that begins with a samach and ends with a hey. The Anbe Shmuel, the Ezim Mukdash, is the Sfam, which talk about names, that he says no, that the David says that she sold with an aleph. So he goes on a whole pibble over here, what is the correct spell? Look at these other examples. Now, okay, let's do one other quick thing over here. That's Cherem Savos. Rabbi Yehuda HaChos, there's so much about the names that we know forever, maybe another time we should just talk in this topic. But he was very, very makbid on this.
Right.
He really, a lot of people feel not so makbid on this, that let's say a Chosan has the same name as his father-in-law. Or let's say a girl, the Kala, has the same name as her mother-in-law. As her mother-in-law. You know the famous joke. The famous joke is they went to the rabbi, the same name, so he says, the chassan went with his mother. The chassan went with his mother to a rav, and they said to the rav, the kala, the shidduch is closing, and he wants to marry the girl, and she has the same name. So the Ram says, so, you know, one of them should change their name. Add. And what do they say? That's very interesting. They said to add. See, if Chaim doesn't like adding, he's very against adding. He doesn't like adding. He likes changing. He knows adding doesn't really do anything. You have to change. Only for a choyle do you add. He talks about this rough, different piskah, different piskah. Not everyone is online with everything he says, no question about it. Add another name. So they leave the rough, and the mother's okay, so you're gonna have to tell the kala to add another name. You have to. So the chassan says to his mother, what? You add another name. I'm not telling my kala, no. You mom, you add another. Okay, so. It's interesting, there that Rav said to add a name. What he talks about, and this I can know about, is where you have a person, I know Maisha Hoy, a person, he wanted to take an Aden, and they both had the same name. But the truth was, the Shver, the future Shver, he really had two names. He's like, let's say his name was Chaim Shmero. But no one called him Chaim Shmero, he called him Chaim. And the Chassan's name was Chaim. So they went to the Rav, and the Rav says, from now on, your family, your wife, and all of your instruct them, they should call you Chaim Shmero.
But they were both called Chaim.
They both were called, until this point, Chaim. They were both called Chaim. Both of them were called Chaim. But the real name, when he was called to the Torah, when the Shver, the future father, was called to the Torah, he was called by his full name, Chaim Shmero. But no one...
But I was called Dov, and my son-in-law was Dovi. Number one.
Oh, that's also an exception, right?
He was cool. And he happens to be a Chaim Dover.
And not everyone is mapped on this. Not even the whole thing, the crowd. Every case of
soccer guy was not a problem.
No, because you called the way you called, not the way you called to the Torah. But in this case, so the Rav says, you have to go, now on, people have to call you by your full name. You didn't add a new name. And he did, Yitaka did. What? Yitaka now on the wife, everyone, they wanted the boy so much. They called him Mikanla, but they called this person by the full name. Okay, now so Rav Chaim over here, so he was very mocked on this. So people came to him, and they were engaged. He was very, very mocked on this. Not everyone, obviously, not everyone is mocked on this. Interesting, Shaila. What about names that are used both unigender? Male Simcha. The Chassam Sofer had a daughter. His favorite child, it seems, was his daughter was Simcha. Her name was Simcha. Chassam wasn't a Sephardi. The Chassam Sofer's favorite daughter, favorite child, probably was her daughter, whose name was Simcha. He loved her. Always, everything was always about his daughter Simcha. And today, Simcha, more or less, is a male. It's not so common to hear females have the name Simcha by Ashkenazim, at least. What happens? The Chassan and the Kala both have the same name.
They can
have the same name.
Another example, Yonah. Yonah is more common. Yonah is a boy. Boys. There are other names, Yonah. Yeah. So these are good names. And it's traditional. There's no problem with the name. But they both have the same name. So guess what? Rav Chaim Kanievsky says something very shocking. This is a Chiluk Ideas about this. He says, nowhere does Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid ever discuss this. He never, in all of these, all the Chumash, right. He says, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Is that amazing? Yeah. Both the Chass and the Kala can have the same name. Mm-hmm. But you can't have the same name as your father-in-law. Your Kala can't have the same name as his mother. He was very mapped on that. But the Chass and Kala, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid never spoke about this. Therefore, we have no reason to be mapped. So the reason why, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, this is the very big, very big question. What is going on? He doesn't give reasons. What's the reason why a Chassan and Kala, a Chassan, what's the reason why a boy should not have the same name as his father-in-law? What's the reason? He doesn't say. It's conjecture. So some will say it's pure Kabbalah. Don't look for reasons. It's a Kabbalistic principle. Don't go there, and that's the end. That's really what Chaim is working with, because if that is how you're going to work with that approach, then if the boy and the girl have exactly the same name, Simcha, Yonah, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, the fact that he has not mentioned this, we have no obligation to make believe we know Kabbalah and start saying things that we don't know. He doesn't talk about this. It's purely mystical Kabbalah. That's it, mutter. And anyway, many people are not makbar on these things to begin with. And some will tell you even those are not only his descendants, not the whole world. However, a very big however, there are many people that say no, there is a very logical reason why he's not, it's not Kabbalah, it's lack of Derech Eretz. Because it's inevitable, you're going to be in the house, and someone's going to say, both of you have your same name, Chaim, who's going to turn around? Who's going to turn around? The father was going to turn around, and the son was going to turn around. And it's going to lead to embarrassing situations. It's inevitable.
Yep.
It's inevitable. It
happens now.
It's inevitable.
Pulls out Abba, and she's talking to...
I know. You know Rabbi Orlean, Mr. Murillo, Rabbi Orlean? So he told me, he was so happy, he told me that he's in YU, teaching a wife for 60 years. They honored him a couple of years ago. Rabbi Orlean. There's no one that has his name Orlean. No one has his name. So Rabbi Orlean, he's been there, he lives in Amish, he loves the yeshiva with his full heart and soul. Rabbi Orlean, Yeshiva University. He taught there, he loves the yeshiva, and he's involved with Orlean. And Rabbi Orlean, Dr. Orlean. So all of a sudden he's in yeshiva one now. You see yeshiva one day, not that long ago. Rabbi Orlean, he turns around and he notices they're not talking to him. They're talking to his son, who got a shtela, who became a rebbe in the yeshiva. So after 60 years, someone shouts out, Rabbi Orlean, and he turns around. They're not talking to him. He said to me, you know how much nachas I had? For real. For real? That's the ultimate prize Hashem gave me. The ultimate prize that he screams out of an Orlea and he turned around and they're talking. Incredible brach. That's not a personal thing. Okay? But when you're at home with your wife and your daughter and your son-in-law, it's not nachas. When someone says, Chaim, it can be a problem of a riot sometimes. It can be a shayla.
That's what
not so partial. Right. Then there's another reason given, ayin hara. What does that mean exactly? I don't know what ayin hara is. Ayin hara is a Kabbalistic thing. The two chayims, they say, the two chayims are here. The two chayims. Somehow when you say the two chayims, I don't know. It's like, everything is, there's something not good. I don't know what Ayin Hara is. I don't know how to talk about these things. If that's the reason, so here's the catch. Rav Chaim is not going with reasons. Rav Chaim, his Hamahal HaNachshava names is in Kabbalah in Mikad. He's a very, very hard line. A very strict, very, very, very black and white. The Rav Chaim doesn't talk about it. Your name is Simcha. We should have a lot of Simchas. Other Poskim strongly disagree. If Rav Yehuda HaChassid said the Shver and the Edu can have the same name, Al Achas Kama V'Kama Ben Benoy Shul Kal V'Chomer, the Chassid Kala can have the name. Last thing is, what about the same last names? An Appledorf and an Appledorf. Mutter. Last names have no weight. Last names have absolutely no weight in this discussion. Mutter. Okay.